ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavad Gita as it is, translated and given purpose by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And today we're taking text from chapter 7, text 14. Chapter 7, text 14 is quite a popular text. Please repeat after me. Dadi,
Dadi,
Isha,
Isha,
Una,
Una,
Mari,
Mari,
Mama,
Mama,
Maya,
Maya,
Natsaya,
Natsaya,
Mam,
Mam,
Eva,
Eva,
Ye,
Ye,
Prabhadyante,
Prabhadyante,
Mayam,
Mayam,
Ekam,
Ekam,
Taranti,
Taranti,
Te, Dadihesha Gunamai Dadihesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya
Mama Maya Duratyaya
Mama Maya Duratyaya
Mama Maya Duratyaya
Mam Eva Eva Padyante
Mam Eva Eva Padyante
Mam Devaye Papadyante
Mam Devaye Papadyante
Mayam Ekam Taraktite
Mayam Ekam Taraktite
Mayam Ekam Taraktite
Mayam Ekam Taraktite
Yeah. Now please repeat. Daivi
Daivi
Transcendental
Transcendental
He
Certainly
Esha
Esha
This
Yes.
Gunamayi,
Gunamayi,
consisting of the three modes of material nature. Mama,
Mama,
Maya,
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 energy. Yuratyaya,
very difficult to overcome.
Mam,
unto me.
Eva,
Eva,
certainly.
Certainly.
Ye,
Ye,
those who.
Prapadyante
surrender.
Mayam
Ekam
this illusory energy.
Taranti
overcome.
Te
they.
Translation by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Please repeat. This divine energy of mind,
this divine energy of mind
consisting of the three modes,
consisting of the three modes
of material nature,
is difficult to overcome.
But those who have surrendered unto me
can easily cross beyond it.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome his influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Bada, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy. Because material nature is ultimately conducted by the supreme will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material energy is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows: Mayam tu prakritim, vidyan mayinam tu maheshwara. Although Maya illusion is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of God, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. Svetashvatara, Upanishad 4.10. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service of Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of a stringent material nature. The words Mam Evam are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajagun, passion, and Tamagun, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Svetashvatara Upanishad 3.8, confirms this in the phrase Tam Eva Viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnu Eva Na Sanshaya. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Om Nagiratim Yanyasya Yana Yana Shalakaya Tashu Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Rudeni Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Visham Sakutam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Swa Padatitam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamala Sri Guru Vaisavam Shcha Sri Rupa Sadhijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Sarvudutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Shcha E Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopita Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sise Devi Vanamami Harim Kriye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Vipasindhi Evascha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivachari Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinami Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavani Paschachari Sitarani Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prima Padaya Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo Gura Chisei Namaha Ananda Lidamaya Vigrahaya Imabhya Vigrachari Sundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the text today is Daihye Shabna Mayi Mama Maya Durakyaya Mami Vaye Papadyante Mayam Gitam Tarakite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross over it. Hare Krishna. So, Sri Krishna is describing two things. First, if we try to defeat the three modes of material nature, good luck to us. That's the first point. If the Supreme Controller himself is saying it's difficult to overcome, you better believe it is difficult to overcome, because it's from Krishna. The last word, everything around is created by Krishna. And he's saying the more goodness, more passion, more ignorance, or any combination we have, trying to get the transcendental is not easy. But then he gives the antidote. If you surrender to me, you can easily cross beyond it. It's almost everything that we need to hear in Krishna consciousness in one text. Literally. We are in material energy has three modes. We can't overcome it by ourselves, but if we surrender to Krishna, he says it's easy then. It's easy to cross it. So the point is how to surrender. If we are able to surrender, we go over these three modes of material nature. If we refuse to surrender, we are trapped by the three modes of material nature. So that is our situation. Now, in the purpose, the Prabhupada says that Krishna has innumerable energies. Everything from Krishna is divine. Therefore, if it's in the spiritual category, it is divine. If it's in the material category, it is still divine. Because everything that emanates from Krishna, comes from Krishna, is divine. Divinity starts and stops with him. So, the material energy sometimes we hear is temporary. Well, it's temporary in one sense, but it's not really temporary. As Rupa Maharaj likes to put it, now you see it, now you don't. Well, now you see it, now you don't doesn't mean it disappears forever. No, it doesn't. Now you see it outside of Mahavishnu, now you don't inside of Mahavishnu. But it's always there. It just depends where it is and what time. Whether he's breathing in or breathing out. He breathes out, now you see it. He breathes in, now you don't. And for us, in our lifetime, short lifetime, especially lifetime in Kali Yuga, it's only now you see it, because we only live less than 100 years. And we're talking about billions of years. As a matter of fact, it's not even billions, it's hundreds of trillions of years, like Lord Brahma's age. That's now one of now you see it, and then another age. So 311,400,000,000,000 years is now you see it. and another 300 trillion years, 11 trillion years, now you don't. Now, so all of this may be really big, we can't even put our minds to it, but we don't really belong to the material nature anyway. This is not home for us, not at all. So we have to live the type of life that makes it possible for the material covering, which is the physical body, and the subtle body, to be removed from us once and for all. To your Prabhupada, I heard one lecture talking about Krishna consciousness and comparing it to whatever the materialists are trying to achieve. He said, whatever they've achieved, or will even achieve in the future, or create, they cannot stop death. They cannot stop death. But our movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement, is the only one that can stop death. You wouldn't be very happy to hear that, but it's a fact. If we surrender the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we die one more time and none after that. Once we go back to the spiritual world, there is no death. But in the material world, wherever we are, higher planetary system, medium planetary system, like the one we have now, or lower planetary system, we cannot escape death. And in one sense, it is the most feared situation by materialists. Because it doesn't matter how much we accumulate as a materialist, or I shouldn't say we, because we are trying to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it doesn't matter how much that materialists accumulate, it gets taken away from them at death. They cannot have any control over anything that they work for in the material energy when death comes. The best they can do is to make a will. But when did a dead body ever control a will? You're lucky if those who take the will enforce it and make it happen. That's just your wish. The person's wish that my property should be given to someone else, but they don't have that property anymore. It's just their last wish. If he gets followed, fine. If he doesn't get followed, in fact, there's a story that I'll tell you now about a will. So one man was so attached to his money, he got old, he was about to die, and he wanted some of the money taken, put in his coffin. They weren't going to cremate him, they were going to bury him. And he wanted money in his coffin. He wanted to be buried with money. And he was specific, $10,000. Put $10,000 cash into my coffin and then bury me with it. So one person who understood that a corpse cannot do anything about money decided, why did he take all that money into the earth? So he decided that he will make an exchange. So before they buried him, they opened this casket and the money wasn't there. So immediately the relatives got concerned. Here's our dear relative. He has dying man, his last wish says that put $10,000, we put the $10,000 in it, and now somebody has stolen it. So they began to ask, and the person that took the money finally admitted that he took the money. Now why did he take $10,000? He said, well, I didn't really take it, I exchanged it. I wrote him a check for $10,000, and then he took the cash. That's what he did. So that's fair exchange, according to him. But this is what a physical body winds up becoming. Sam Walton, that's the owner of Walmart. If he didn't go back to Godhead, if he didn't go back to Godhead, and let's say he comes back in another body, let's just say a body of a dog. And I'm not demeaning him, but just for example's sake. And goes to any of the Walmart stores and they say, but dogs are not allowed in there. They're not. They won't let him. He is the soul that in the previous life started this whole big thing. And he can't go in. You can see just how material energy, how literally, unfortunately, it can be. I'm trying to find a mild word to describe how it can be. So the only thing left to do with this body is to connect to Krishna. Otherwise, everything you've done doesn't matter. You earn a big degree. You get all kinds of assets. Srila Prabhupada, in another lecture that we talked about in Baltimore, he said, all of these scientific achievements, they are all useless. And it's like, wow, we have cell phones, we have all of these things, and Srila Prabhupada says, useless? Well, you do get a degree that helps you find a job, that puts food on your table, that puts a roof over your head, and then what? You get old, and you die. That's the end of that. That's all that it ever gives you. And if you get to die, then you'll be forgotten. Unless you made a history book. But it doesn't matter. Whoever they talk about in history, they're in a different body now, doing different things. It doesn't matter. So the material energy, not only is it difficult to overcome, but it doesn't give us anything permanent if we try to do things with the material energy. Now there was a lecture I was listening to, Srila Prabhupada, that really mentioned quite a few things about this. So the comment that he made, Srila Prabhupada said, from a spiritual standpoint, material life is punishment. Material life is punishment. There are ways, Srila Prabhupada is very direct. We are going through punishment. Material life, for the materialist though, is rejection of the opportunity to go back to Godhead. The materialists are rejecting the opportunity to go back to Godhead, and they are making plans here in order to be happy. That's what they're trying to do. Every new item, new gadget that comes out, they think is going to give them happiness. Yes, it's a little bit of elevation of the way things used to be, so it's a little more convenient, and that's what they advertise, the convenience part of it. But there are so many other levels that come with every new thing that's produced. First of all, it is not cheaper than the last thing. You pay more money for it. If you are in an arrangement to pay bills every month, it's higher than it used to be. I was coming down in Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I got my little sticker there to look at whatever the charge is, and I see it's going up. I used to go to Reading a lot. It was $4.70, and I was $4.75, and now I look at me, I was not getting that. I just looked at it, $5.05, and I'm thinking, just like Srimad Bhagavatam said, they're going to tax and tax and tax and tax. It's going to go higher and higher and higher until some people who can't deal with it will get out of the regular system and go live in the woods. Just so, and this is in the Bhagavatam, I'm making it out. Just so they will not be part of the system anymore. They can't be traced and they can't be tracked. But then if we live in the woods, then the animals, especially the strong ones, they are the ones that control, in a manner of speaking. They are the ones that control. Therefore, to connect this in another story, actually a real situation. My spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he joined ISKCON in New York, and there was a lecture that was videoed, and that's how we saw it, my wife and I saw it. So he was Bhakta John. He had a little beard, you know, and he had a bead dye around his neck. And Srila Prabhupada finished the lecture, and then he asked for questions, as normally do. And then he decided to ask a question. So his question was, so Srila Prabhupada, you are saying that we are 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. And at first Srila Prabhupada didn't hear from where he was sitting, so the devotees repeated to him. And he said, yes, we are 5,000 years in Kali Yuga. Therefore, there are 427,000 years left. And 427,000 years of misery and more misery and more misery and more misery. Therefore, while you are here 5,000 years only into Kali Yuga, why don't you jump out and go back to Godhead? This is our situation, all of us. situation. If you have some money, you are like the kind of person who is, in fact, this is another story, a person who was on the top of a mountain, and an edge of it is very, very steep. And the person got to the edge of the mountain, not looking, and then he slipped. So then he was going down, 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 down. And fortunately, there was a tree that was at an angle in the path where he was falling. So for dear life, he tried his best as he could, fell on the tree, hung on to a branch, and so now he's hanging. At least he's not dead, but he's hanging. Now, that is our situation. Those who are poor are hanging by maybe one finger, and those who are rich are holding with both hands, but we are all hanging. We are all hanging. So, we have to take spiritual life seriously in order that we may be saved. Srila Prabhupada has explained to us that Krishna has put in place all that it takes for us to go back. We are here. The first understanding we have to have is this material life is punishment, and what we're wearing, this physical body, that is the first punishment. You get given the physical body, and then the soul, who was in bliss, enjoying in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, now has been squeezed to a very small size, atomic size. In the Shastra it says 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. This is like atomic size, very, very, very small. And it can't do anything that it used to do in the spiritual world. The soul cannot do that. The body has been the one that the soul has been put in, and now the body is the one that's acting. And the body has so many defects. Internal defects and external. Internal defects, there's a tendency to cheat, then the tendency to make mistakes, then the tendency to be an illusion. Like that all karmis are an illusion. They think that they can solve material problems with material solutions, but it doesn't work. And all the senses are imperfect. Not one of them is perfect. The soul has perfect senses. The soul is in a blissful atmosphere. The soul is loved by all other souls. But our problem is we've forgotten how wonderful home is. And we're trying to make it here. So Srila Prabhupada has given us such mercy by telling us or pointing us in the right direction. So much mercy is also there from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Kali Yuga, it's been made so simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna's situation and we'll tie both of them together. The analogy of going back to Godhead. Say a rich man, a big man, he owns a factory, but he doesn't work in the factory. There are other people that work, even though the amount of money that's made comes to him or her, for that matter. He is aloof from those activities. See, the Prabhupada is describing this. He is somewhere else, enjoying the associates that he himself has chosen to have around him. That is Krishna's situation. Krishna is the richest personality. So he doesn't work. He's aloof from work and he plays the cowherd boys. So Shukadeva Goswami explains in Bhagavad Gita, the cowherd boys are not ordinary people though. They're not. Either they're from the spiritual world or they've earned credits and are from austerities over a long period of time to get to that position. We can also chant Hare Krishna and achieve similar positions in Vrindavan. But we should have strong faith. Should have strong faith. So, how does Krishna see us? Well, he is our father. He is a rich father. He's got everything to make us happy. But some of us are trying to avoid him. Some of us have heard about him, but we don't take him too seriously. And in the meantime, we're suffering. And Krishna, the rich man, wants us back home so we can enjoy all the amenities that he's provided. This is the situation. So Srila Prabhupada, I mean, so much is there to try to urge us to go home that Srila Prabhupada has reduced, by getting Krishna's permission, reduced the amount of japa from a minimum of 64 to a minimum of 16. Now if you do the math, that is 3/4 off. If you went to a store and they had a 3/4 sale, you would be jumping to get everything that's in the store, that's 3/4. So why don't we do the same thing for japa? It takes too long to do. Anybody that says it takes too long to do should remember that they're talking about time. And Krishna says, I am time. Time I am. So if you're doing things that Krishna's representative says to do, you're not wasting time. You couldn't possibly be wasting time. If we substitute what we're supposed to do spiritually with what we do materially, then we are asking to die without getting an opportunity to go back to Godhead. For devotees, death is Krishna coming in disguise to take us back. For the materialist, death means another sentence in another place, either here, certainly a new prison suit, based on what the person has done and what the desires are, and another life somewhere else in the material energy. No escape. We are still here. Interestingly enough, when me, myself, and my classmates, we studied physics in high school, and then they told us there was something called the law of gravity, gravitational pull. So then I knew about that. I knew the numbers and, you know, in different units and so on. I'm sure some of you do know that. Until I came to Krishna consciousness, then I looked back at the same concept. The law of gravity, you jump up, gravity pulls you down. But then you are a prisoner. You can't get out. So the law of gravity means we cannot get out. That's what it really means. We may have the number of whatever, the gravitational acceleration when you're just coming down and so on. All of this we've learned just for devotees to understand we cannot leave unless we take the process seriously. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada says, if we avoid Krishna and try to make adjustments to the material nature in order to be happy, all of those efforts will be frustrated. Because the material energy is designed to frustrate us. We don't have much say at all. It doesn't take much to find that out. We are in winter, so today it wasn't that cold. Then some other time it might get very cold. And then sometimes there will be sleet. And then sometimes there will be snow. And then we don't have any control of the amount of snow when it comes or how much that we get. Now is this not prison life? That's not prison life, whatever it is. We just get dumped on whenever. And you go to the other side of the world, they don't have any snow. 12 hours away from us. It's very warm, so they're also complaining. It's too hot. Here it's too cold. There it's too hot. Nothing is just for this physical body set up so nicely. It's not. Because Krishna has set it up so that after a while we will come to our senses and say, I'm really suffering. And I don't need to be here. How do I get out? As soon as we ask the most intelligent question, why am I suffering? Why am I here? I hear that God is very kind. All of those positive, wonderful qualities God has. He's kind, he's merciful, he's loving. And we're living like this? So there's something wrong. Immediately, we come to know, this doesn't, God that's kind shouldn't have us live like this. Well, this is God's prison. And this is the place where it's described as God's prison. So you get out of prison and you'll be just fine. So this is a process, but it's also a process that Krishna wants us to show compassion as we're doing it. We also need to help others to go. So in spiritual life, if you want to grow, you have to be willing to help others. to grow in their spiritual life. That willingness to extend ourselves to help others is so impressive to the transcendental system that whatever problems that we are having, they will help us out of it. Simply because we are willing to extend the process. Even when we're dealing with someone that is not interested in Krishna, we have the secret weapon, prasadam. Nobody turns down food. Yet, prasadam starts the process. And therefore, now we have food distribution, I know, we give prasadam, and now we're going to extend it a little bit, because the compassion needs to be shown to not just the entities that are people, but entities, period. All entities. So as many entities as you can give the mercy to, please do. So let's talk about plants. When we offer our bhoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we go through the process. The bhoga gets spiritualized. It becomes the Lord's mercy, prasadam. You can give prasadam, even a snack, to someone who is a non-devotee, and they will benefit from it. Their devotional life begins whether they know it or not. They will be open at some point, that depends on Krishna's arrangement, at some point to a devotee and be invited into the process so they can start their journey back home. But what about those who are not humans? We're talking about plants. When we offer our bhoga, usually we will offer vegetables, right? Milk. But then we offer water. Many times, water is part of what we offer. So when we close the offering, the prasad is there. That's Krishna's mercy. So is the water. We may drink the water, we may give it to someone else, but water is food for the plants. So if you take that mahaprasad water and pour it on the plant, you literally have started the plant's devotional life, the process. Even if you pour it on grass, you have started the devotional life of that grass. And I checked with two sannyasis and they confirmed this, that if you give prasad to even a non-human, an entity in a non-human body, the next life, they're going to take birth as a human. And the process will begin for them to go back to Godhead. So just by pouring water on a plant, the trees outside your apartment or house, you've extended the mercy. Now, plants, tree, in a normal progression to come to a human, will have to go through, it starts from aquatics, then trees. So a tree will have to go through next life as an insect, and next life as a bird, next life as an animal, and then a human. But just by pouring water that you offer to Krishna on that plant, next life, that plant becomes a human. So all of that, so many lifetimes, you've cut off, and then this person, now this person, full next life, that person can begin the devotion. All of those things are noticed. So we even sometimes take a small amount of prasadam, especially in the summer, and the summer will be here soon. Small amount, now I'm talking about the food, not just the water, and the vegetable part of it. Go outside the house, and maybe in a corner where there are some, woods or something, or some plants, put a little bit of the prasadam, halava, whatever it is, in the corner. The ants will get to it. Other types of insects will get to it. Don't make it so obvious. If you be behind the tree, believe me, they find everything. They'll get there. They'll eat it. And, next slide, human. So there's so much that we can do. So much. The water can save the plants. The prasadam, small amount of prasadam can save. Any first one that gets to it, that can take some of it, it'll take some of it. And all of those will be liberated. So the more help we give, not only in book distribution and in food for life, which will give the humans, but even those who are not a human body, we can also save them. Begin their process. So there is so much opportunity that's there. And every time we do something like that to help another person, we improve in our spiritual life. Krishna helps us with the difficulties that we have, including even regulated principles. Some people struggle with regulated principles. So many things we have to do. One of the important things that if we don't take seriously, we can ruin our spiritual life is apavada, offenses. You don't want offenses. Krishna says, Prabhupada says, it's like a mad elephant disease. You have a nice garden of bhakti, cultivated it nicely, take it seriously, take your sadness seriously. And then, commit apavada is like having a mad elephant come through the garden and ruin everything. Everything is spoiled. And everything means we chant minimum 16 rounds japa, we obey all four regulative principles, and still, because of our parade, we cannot go back to Godhead. It's that bad. It's that bad. So avoid getting angry with other devotees. Avoid criticizing other devotees. Avoid gossiping about other devotees. All those things. And when we're having meetings in every temple, this happens. There are more than one way to solve things. Sometimes you have a great idea and you're suggesting it. Somebody else has another idea. They also suggest it. And then your idea is not taken. Somebody else's idea is taken. And you get upset. Why didn't they take mine? There's only one idea that's going to carry you for a while at least. So don't let this, because that's a false ego that does that. Don't let that take over. The idea is one of a number of ideas which can be solutions. They're all good solutions. The thing is, if you suggest a good idea, what you call a good idea, and it may well be a good idea, and it doesn't get taken, guess what? Your spiritual credit is still there because you suggested it. Whether it gets used or not, you will still get the same spiritual credit as if it was used. Because you suggested it. That's all. So, if your suggestion is not taken, don't fret about it. Because, after all, when we get more spiritual credits, it gives us better opportunity to go back to Godhead. And just by suggesting it sincerely, you get the credits for it. And so, getting angry means, well, let's just put it this way. Don't do anything that upset other devotees. Bottom line. If another devotee gets upset, you have committed apparat. In other words, you may say something that is correct, but the way you said it made the person upset. That's still apparat. It's called saying the right thing the wrong way. That is still apparat. Why? Well, first of all, apparat itself, the word has Radharani's name in it. Aparadha. Aparad is sunyarada, without Radharani. So, what we need to understand and keep at the back of our minds is that Srimati Radharani sees this world as the two classes, those who are devotees and those who are not. Those who are worshipping Krishna, her Krishna, Krishna is everything to her. Those who are worshiping, trying their best to worship Krishna, we all have faults, we have high nature and low nature. Those who are trying and those who aren't, non-devotees. So, everyone that's trying receives the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Radharani sees those people as special. That's the bottom line. And therefore, when we offend that person, then Radharani gets upset. That's what happens. And if Radharani gets upset, Krishna is not going to have to go back to Godhead. That's out of the question. Krishna does not oppose Radharani. Radharani getting upset is like Lord Chaitanya getting upset. It's the same thing. Because the mood is the same. Lord Chaitanya came here with the character, with the mood of Srimati Radharani. So when Radha gets upset, Lord Chaitanya is also upset with us. So we always have to be careful how we talk to the devotees. How? You can make a point, but you have to be careful not to offend the person. If there's an issue between one person and another person, The conversation can take place. The mood has to be such that no one offends the other person, because it's not about being right, though. It really is not about being right. It's about ending the conversation in such a way that the person you talk to is not upset. In other words, you finish the conversation, but once you finish, you are not ruining your relationship with that person. Because as soon as you ruin that relationship by how you went about it, that man is upset with you. That's what happens. Sometimes we've been around a long time, years and years and years, and we don't seem to grow, we don't seem to be excited about Krishna consciousness. Most of the time, it's because of offenses. So that's what we have to be careful about. And if we are careful about that, a person who's like that is automatically surrendered. It's a humble person. Humility is very important, so much so that Srila Prabhupada brings it up. It's in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, texts 8 through 12. The five texts put together, qualities of the devotee. And the first one that Krishna mentions is Amalipa, humility. Now, there are so many ways to act in humility. Srila Prabhupada has written a lot about it. But we'll say just a couple of things. When a problem arises between us and someone else, we should see it as our fault first. If we do that, then we are doing well as far as false ego goes. It makes us, if we think like that, then it makes us think of ways to resolve the problem rather than try to prove that we're correct, even if we're correct. Now, it breaks down to this. Got a problem, one person, another person. It should end, as we said earlier, you can deal with the problem. If the person won't hear you, then that's not the time to talk to them. You may talk to someone else that they will hear. Maybe they don't respect you enough to hear your point. Then someone else has to explain that thing to that person so they can hear. That's one way. Or if they would listen and they'll have, you know, they can dialogue back and forth, just be careful how you use your words so that you don't offend that other person. Sometimes we not even be heard. We won't be heard at all. But if what we're saying was right and the person was the one that could have heard it and doesn't want to, in other words, they're being difficult, Krishna would arrange. Only a matter of time. And I lived in Giranagar for quite a while. And I saw this happen over and over and over again, especially with my own God family. I won't go into details, but I saw it happen over and over again. Sometimes it involved me, sometimes it involved other devotees. Now, accept, last point, because I know I'm looking at the time now. Accept that I don't know much of anything spiritual. Accept that. As a matter of fact, Lord Chaitanya gave the example. Prime example. When he met his guru, Ishwara Puri, he told his guru, "I'm just a fool. This is God that created everything. A combination of Radha and Krishna." But the example he gave as a devotee is, "I don't know anything." Now, if we think that way, then, because we are thinking that way, we will be willing to hear Bhagavatam, and hear Bhagavad Gita, and hear lectures from the other spiritual books, because we are open to hearing. We say we don't know much, and as soon as we say we know a lot, then we don't want to listen. But actually, nobody knows anything. You know about Krishna? How much? We can prove to you in less than a minute that you don't know much about Krishna. You could do it now. Say you have a million things that you know about Krishna. But what is Krishna? Krishna is unlimited. He is unlimited. If you divide 1 million by gazillion, 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 it's zero. It's zero. 1 million has 6 zeros. If you divide 1 million by 1 with 30 zeros, trillions and trillions, you will get your calculator to tell you 0.00000000 something before it gives you another number. But it might not say zero. So Lord Chaitanya is right. Of course he would be. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't know much of anything spiritual. Then you open up to hear more. Now, finally, if... You go on, pick it up. The final point is, the greatest and most humble, and by far the most intelligent prayer to Guru and to Gauranga is to pray to them and ask them to run your life. Be prepared to move away mentally and ask that they control your thoughts and they control your movements. If you do that, you will be naturally humble because they will guide you correctly. Therefore, one explanation about that, yes, we do have the mind, we do have intelligence, we do think through things. So how do we move away for Krishna and Guru to control our thoughts? It's quite simple. It comes with a prayer. You do it by prayer. Dear Gurudev, dear Lord Gauranga, I am thinking this way about this situation. If it is the best situation, let it happen. If it's not, then change it. Don't let it happen. So you still can decide things, but you always put your decision at the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. And let them either approve it or disapprove of it. And accept whatever happens. That's all. Then you can run your life easily, because you're running your life with the fact that it's Krishna and Guru that are controlling you. Hare Krishna. Amen. We start here. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada's mercy on those, Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments? Okay, so I don't see anyone, so I guess we'll stop here. Rakna Shmad Bhagavad Gita Ki, Prabhupada Ki, Gita Govura Premanandi. Jai, thank you for tolerating me.